commit yourself in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you on Calvary, when you know the truth and you accept the truth, you believe, you're saved. You're not saved when somebody tells you you're saved. You're saved when you believe the truth. There are places that, and messages that are difficult to preach, no matter where you are. But I'm very, very grateful for the liberty of the Spirit here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
It's been easy to preach. It's just been hard to cut it off. But I gave you my soul. And I slept well. And I pray you've got a help and a blessing. By God's good help tonight, I want to preach point 3 of a 6-point message. We began the meeting on Monday night talking about Bible grace and all the ways that Satan has perverted and twisted and redefined and words like repentance. Some preachers are preaching it like it's reformation. No, it's the preparation for receiving the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Just preparing the heart so that you realize from every direction you're without excuse, worthy of death, guilty before God, and you need to be saved from your sins. Then you turn to the Lord in faith and receive Him. We know that many have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. It's ridiculous what people do in the name of grace. It's how people live in the name of grace. For many men are crept in unawares, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. I mean, excess of lust. Not just the financial end, that making gain of people, the gain is godliness. No. That's worldliness. God can bless you, and God will bless you if you obey His principles. So we know that many words in the Bible are twisted and perverted, and many false Jesuses are out there. You need to study the Bible, make sure you're trusting the right Jesus. The Jesus is virgin born. The Jesus is the Son of God. The Jesus that conquered death, hell, and the grave. The Jesus that wants to give you life. And the Jesus that was a perfect man and perfect God all at the same time. And so there's many Bible words that are being redefined. And the cults use our words, but they don't mean the same things we mean.
Amen.
So we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth and rightly defining the word of truth. Well, point 3 of a 6-point message on what is Bible faith. As we said the other night on grace, everything that God does comes from the Scriptures. This is where He communicates with man. He gets man's attention by the creation. He lets men know that He exists by their conscience. But He communicates to man. He didn't have to. But He chose to use men to record this book so that we would know the mind of God. Yeah, He said, it's never entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But that's not where that verse ends. The period comes next. But He hath revealed them to us by the Scriptures. This is the things He has prepared for them that love Him. This tells us we can be prepared for heaven. You better get prepared, or you're just going to die a culture shock when you get on the other side. I mean, this is the quietest world you're going to ever live in. Although I had a man question one day whether there were going to be any women in heaven. I said, what in the world made you think that? He said, the Bible says for the space of 30 minutes there was silence in heaven. I said, that wouldn't mean women, that means Baptist preachers. We're worse gossip. We're worse gossips and worse talkers than women. But we're not preaching all the time. Then we're just listening. Okay, I got to move on before I name names and owe somebody $20 more. Point number three, if it's Bible grace, it's now. Look with me at Hebrews, please, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Bible faith has nothing to do with yesterday. It has nothing to do with tomorrow. Everything about Bible grace is now. It's not an intend to. I intend to have faith. I used to have faith. Faith comes from the source, the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it just comes, and it comes, and it comes, because the source is eternal, the eternal Word of God. It's like a well from the Scriptures springing up in our soul. Once faith comes, it's as eternal as the source, the well from which it came. It's a perfect faith. Wow, you mean... it takes a perfect faith to get saved. Then we have to use personal faith and practical faith to go on with our life. But it took perfect blood to save you. It took a perfect Savior to save you. It takes perfect faith to save you. Well, he says, it's not how much faith, it's who you put your faith in. That's true. But where did the faith come from? Is it Bible faith in the first place? Can be little faith? Great faith? Not so great faith as I've seen in Israel. No, that Roman centurion had more faith than any Israelite. But if he had faith at all, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you have faith, you can't lose it. It can grow dim. You can stop leaning on it. You can try other substitutes. But once faith has come, that's a phrase in the Bible you ought to look up. But when faith came. Well, I better not preach the whole message. Let's go back to point number three. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God hung the universe on nothing, and it stays there. I don't know how He did it. Science is still looking into it, but they're using more imagination than they are science. Because He's God, we're not. I'll believe the Bible over any science book.
Praise the Lord.
In fact, You know, we're living in days when Christians have almost stopped participating in life. I'm thankful that I am pre-tribulation in my understanding of the Scriptures. I'm glad I don't have to be preparing for 7 years. I'm glad I don't have to start trying to find caves to dwell in. I'm glad I don't have to find a place where no rocks are going to fall down on me. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about finding a place to get away from the mark of the beast. Whenever Satan comes, and whenever that's put in, implemented, there's no place to run. There's not going to be an underground system. You're going to stand, or you're not. You're going to believe, or you're not. You're going to reject the mark. You're going to reject the devil. You're not going to listen to the false prophet. That's for those of you that miss the rapture. But those that believe the truth of the Word of God, there's no way to get around it. You're not going to be permitted to buy or sell. Can't barter. Well, they got bartering laws now. You have to pay taxes if you sell stuff in a yard sale in Indiana. It's coming across the country. I mean, that our little leaders, they want to know everything there is to know about you, what you're doing, where you're at. They want to know what restroom you're using. I mean, you know, they're just nosy. Because the more they know through Facebook and email and everything else, the more they know about you, they know the patterns of your life, they know where you're at, you know what you've been doing. When they want to find you, they can. License plates, everything. So we don't have to worry about all that. Because we have a great God. And if he can't protect us, I remember one man was with Brother Wright, and a man came in, and he said, "Well, what do you do? How do you protect all those cash if you don't have any bank account?" He said, "How do you protect your daughter? Isn't she more precious than your money?" I hope you try to protect your children more than you do your money.
Amen.
Well, so the phrase that's unmistakable, one of the unmistakable marks of Bible faith is now. See, I'm saved. When are you saved? The moment you commit yourself in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on Calvary, when you know the truth and you accept the truth. You believe, you're saved. You're not saved when somebody tells you you're saved. You're saved when you believe the truth. So we have now the just shall live by faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's now faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, you can't please God unless you have faith. Clear enough. So, faith is as active and powerful and continual as its source. Jesus said, "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John 6:63. This word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, when? Now. Behold, today is the day. Behold, now is the accepted time. You can be saved in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, When you receive the engrafted word and let it be mixed with faith in your heart when you hear it, and it will spring forth to everlasting life. Again, as we implement faith, we all have to grow in grace. And we have to grow in the faith. And we have to add to our faith virtue and knowledge. But if you got faith, it's there. See, I struggled with this because my background was Methodism. And they believe that you can lose your salvation because they believe a man or a woman can lose their faith. It's not that you can sin away your salvation. They say you have to believe in order to be saved, but if you ever come to a place where you stop believing, then you're no longer saved. So I would ask all of my relatives, I said, but can you lose your faith? Oh, I don't think I can. And I asked some of the theologians, I said, but you mean you will allow a man to have so much faith that they can eradicate the old nature? Would you give that person everlasting life and eternal justification? Oh, no, no, you can still lose your salvation. I said, but you just said you can't sin anymore. So it's very, the theology is very weak. That's another reason that I'm trying to stay close to the historical Baptist interpretation of the Scripture. Depravity in a man's heart works just like gravity. Every time you try to raise higher, there's still something pulling you back down. You can't defy gravity. You have to find a higher principle than gravity, something that can supersede gravity. But gravity stays eternally here. Depravity in the heart works just like gravity. When you want to lift higher, you want to walk closer, you try to draw nearer, there's still something in you that drags you back down. Drags you back down. Faith is what conquers that. Faith to rise. Brother Ed said he was able to sit up straight this morning and get up, stand up straight. He's still alive. If you pay attention, the faith that you have in Christ, since Christ never changes, and since faith comes from the Bible, and since faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for you're saved by faith through grace. Grace through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Now, the gift has to be the faith, not grace, or you'd have, for by grace are you saved through grace, and that grace not of yourself. They're all three gifts, but grace is what gives us faith. I'm not going to go technical, I'm sorry. These in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of fame of faith, these left all and obeyed and went out not knowing where they went, but they went out by faith. And many of them never received the promise that they were promised. They will receive the promise in the 1,000-year reign of Christ when they're resurrected in the millennial kingdom. Every man will sit under his vine and fig. Every man will have a resurrected body, not a glorified body. I think that's just part of the mystery for the church. But now is the ingredient of faith that eludes all imitation. If you have faith and Bible faith, you have it now, in the morning, the evening, tonight, in the morning. It's a continual springing up in your heart. On your bleakest, darkest, loneliest day, there's someone inside. Amen. Says, it is I. Be not afraid.
Praise the Lord.
I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the one that gave you your faith because you believe the Bible. And the Bible produced faith in your life. You put your faith in Him and He'll never let you down. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. So if Jesus never fails, then who you have your faith in cannot change. You put faith in man, you'll be disappointed. You put faith in church buildings, they can collapse. You put faith in preachers, they'll put their foot in the mouth. But you can put your faith in this Bible. And you can put your faith in the person this Bible reveals. But it's a now faith. It's now. And so faith is an active commitment to and a drawing near to all God's commands of faith. Remember over there in the middle of the storm, Peter saw this phantasm that they just, it's got to be a ghost, but who is it? It's walking on the water. And I just say, there are no such thing as ghosts. There's only one begotten Son of God. That's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's the Holy Ghost is the only ghost. Anything else you think is a ghost is a departed spirit, is a demon that's pretending to be somebody else. Okay? There are no such thing as ghosts. Now, if you think there are, go out and catch one. But if you find one, don't bring him to me because I'll make a hole in the wall. All God's commands of faith are directing us to Him. Everything about faith, to get saved, to serve, to join a church, to find the right spouse, to do whatever God's will is in your life, faith, Bible faith, draws us to Christ. As the middle of the storm and the storms were raging, they saw Jesus and John said, "It's the Lord, it's the Lord." Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." A lot of people try to get Jesus to tell, "Let me walk on the water." God's not interested in helping you get anywhere except to Him. He's not interested in answering your prayers for you. He's interested in answering prayers for you as you put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Everything that God gives us is to draw us to God, draw us to His will. And Peter said, "Okay." And he put his foot over on the wave and he tried to time the wave and he gets out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he stopped going to Jesus, when he got diverted, diversion is the greatest problem in my life. Diversion. Trying to get someplace and the rabbit comes along. And the preacher hits the rabbit trail. That's one of my wife's symbols. But this is part of the message. And faith gets us to Jesus. Bible faith will always take us to Jesus, and it'll take us to Him now, not tomorrow. You won't find planning to do something for God. You have to do all that you do for God on purpose now. You put off doing what God the Holy Ghost tells you to do. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Surely we need to know His daily will. Surely we need to hear His voice daily. Search the Scriptures daily. Everything He wants us to do is now. People say, "Well, what am I supposed to do when I graduate from high school? What am I supposed to do when I graduate from college? What am I supposed to do when I graduate with a doctor's degree? What am I supposed to..." You're supposed to do whatever He tells you to do today. And as you learn to yield to Him day by day by day, you don't have the care of the future, but He'll start putting those steps together. And He'll start understanding where He's taking you. And then your eyes will be enlightened and you'll see something. So I'm just saying Bible faith is something that's now. And God, and all Bible faith does is draw us to Christ, trying to get us nearer. Faith always takes us to Jesus. The Bible told us back in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. Not tomorrow. Lord, I got things I need to do, something, I'll get saved tomorrow. It won't happen. In fact, the Bible guarantees you cannot get saved tomorrow on the conviction of today. Because He has not promised any man tomorrow. The promise is now, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. I don't know why I'm stuck on that. I pray there isn't anyone here tonight that's still not saved after this good week. I pray if you're not saved, you'll hear His voice now and commit yourself to Him. Draw nigh to God by faith.
Amen.
By faith. If any man draw back, the Bible says. So you can have faith, you can have an opportunity for faith and draw back. And the fact is, you can draw back all the way to perdition. I've seen people walk so close, they got so close. Judas kissed the cheek of the Son of God and went to hell. Well, that's pretty close. You can sit in church all your life and then die because you never put your faith in Christ and what He did on Calvary. And so God's people draw back. No, lost people draw back. We can stop exercising our faith, but we cannot lose our faith. Amen. There's a lot of things we can lose. We can lose fellowship, but we can never lose relationship.
Amen.
When God's people draw back, not to perdition, but once we've tasted the heavenly and been close to God, and we have it. You know what makes the devil so horrible? He has walked in the midst of the stones of fire. He has been the very presence of God. He was the anointed cherub that covered the manifested presence and power in the Shekinah glory of God. He was there worshiping God, leading. He was the most beautiful of God's creation. And he walked away. Said, he's not so hot. He's not all he's cracked up to be. And when I hear people say, well, are you? And I ask the question, I did 2 years ago when I was here, and 2 years before that when I was here, I know I ask it everywhere I go. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are tonight? That makes you just like the devil. I used to go to church. I don't do it now. Why? Did God change? Oh, I've been in the service of God, seen men of God preach, pray. We had the power of God. We've seen people, all kinds of things. Yeah, but I'm not there anymore. See, if you've ever been closer to God than you are tonight, You're a wicked backslider. That you're telling everybody. Yeah, I bet up there sitting under the old rugged cross, you know, and I love Jesus, and but you know, it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Just Jesus. Faith is now. Now. The just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, elenko. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. The conviction. Same word translated conviction and reproof. The elenco, the conviction that it is real. I'm convinced. Faith is absolutely persuaded. What, do we yet seek to please men? No, for if I yet, I'm here to persuade men. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because I was fit for hell when He saved me. What am I going to be or do that's going to change that? If I didn't deserve it in the first place, what am I going to do to undeserve it? That's how good He is. That's how great His faith is. It's now. The just walk by faith now. Well, next Sunday I'm going to start walking by faith. No. If you don't have it now, if you're not making decisions for Christ now, you're not living by faith. Amen. I mean, there had to come a day when you believed and you committed yourself to the decision by faith to move your whole family and life out to Happy Valley, Oregon. No turning back. One day you had to come to the conclusion and be absolutely persuaded that there was a place that God wanted you to start a church in Tualatin. And by faith, you stepped. It's faith. If that first step was by faith, even on those dark days when you can't see, you can't feel, you don't think, there probably was days when you wondered, oh God. But you weren't going on your own. We were going because of the command of our Master. And we knew He has everything under control. Now, God's not letting me leave that alone. See, you just draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you see it, you don't have to hope for it. He wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to make our decision. My wife was telling Pastor and Miss Jackie today when one of the churches we pastored, we built buildings, bought property all by faith, all by cash, never borrowed anything, didn't get permits for anything. But those were tough. They brought the laws up. It's a whole lot harder to do it now than it was when I was doing it. I know that. But I'm just saying, we did it by the good grace of God and faithful people. But when we came to a place where we had no more finances, the business people all in the church, they looked like, well, we can't afford to do this, we can't afford to do that, we can't afford to do nothing, we don't have any money, therefore we can't spend any more. So I said, well, we're not going to borrow anything, but the next offering is going to a new missionary. We just added another missionary. Then every bill got paid. We don't go by sight. We go by faith. I'm not talking about borrowing. I'm talking about walking by faith. If you can't get a church to understand that, how are you going to get a sinner to understand it? They've got to bow the knee. They've got to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Believing in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Why was he raised from the dead? God the Father said, I'm going to raise him from the dead to prove he's Lord both of the dead and the living. His lordship is proved by the resurrection from the dead. If he can raise himself from the dead, he'll raise you from the dead. Because he's got the power. Lazarus, come forth. One of the days, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And they'll come out and come up and ride back. Amen. Now, faith always takes us closer to Jesus. Romans 13:11 says, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to shake off the darkness, the gloominess, the dullness. Faith is here. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What has God been dealing with you about? We heard some good testimonies tonight. God is just, and let me just divert for one second. When we feel guilty, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. God wants you to deal with your guilt, confess your sin, and then get rid of it. Don't live in it. But it's God's blessing on you to let you know that you're not right in some area so that you confess your sins and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then get up, dust yourself off, set your face like a flint, and go on for God. You can't help what happened. You can't help the consequences of our choices. But you can confess your choices that are wrong. People get saved all the time and say, preacher, I thought God saved me, but I still got all these issues because of what I was before I got saved. I guess God never saved. He didn't forgive me, or he wouldn't be, all that stuff wouldn't still be here. No, he's just going to give you grace to face the consequences of your choices you made before you got born again. You don't. If you lose your arm in a barroom brawl, and yet born again, you don't get your arm back. If you get saved after a life of drinking liquor and you've got cirrhosis of the liver, he didn't promise you he'd fix the liver. He'll give you a glorified body down the road. But you have to live with the consequences of your choices and the dope that you took and the things you did. But if you'll get close to God and confess your sins and then behave yourself and get close to Jesus, there's some sweet things. Phillips, in his book on the shepherd and the sheep, talked about the shepherd always carried some sweet weed with him that the sheep liked. And he would hold it behind him. The sheep that followed the closest are the ones that got the sweet. The rest of them just got grass. So our purpose is to draw near to God, get as close to Him as we can. It's high time to wake out of sleep. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, but be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Colossians 3:8 says, now, put off all these. If you got faith, you believe the Bible, You believe the Apostle Paul, believe the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. You believe the Holy Ghost is speaking the things that Jesus told him to speak. He tells us in Colossians 3:8, put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemies, filthy communication, lying. Faith says, okie dokie. Let's start. Wonder what you've been lying about. You don't have to confess your sins to me. But if you have public sins, they're supposed to be dealt with publicly. Private sins ought to be kept private. And if your brother sins against you, go to him alone. Matthew 18. Take care of business. If you can win him alone. What if he robbed a bank and you're the only one that he confesses it to? Let's say, I'll go with you down to the police station. We're not Catholic priests. But we'll stand with people who have done wrong. Be a shoulder to lean on. So it says, now it's high time to wake out of sleep. Now put off all of these things. Now is the time to know. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. He says, now perform the doing of it. Faith has nothing. You can't intend to do something and say you're living by faith. You don't wait till you go home. You take care of it now. That's why we have an invitation.
Amen.
Do you understand the privilege you have to come to an old-fashioned altar? And I think I remember doing this here. But there's someone else here tonight that I'm preaching for who's in the midst of his church. And he's on a throne, high and lifted up. Jesus is here and he's accepting our worship. He's watching us learn. He's ministering and administrating over his church. And the Bible tells us in the same book of Hebrews, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, where is Jesus right now? In the midst of his church, when we're two or three are gathered together in my name, under my authority, by the way I said do it, not just any group of people, by my name, in my name. That's a phrase all the way through the New Testament that talks about his authority. He's here. Sometimes we come to as an altar, a place we sacrifice stuff. Dedicate ourselves. But sometimes we come to the foot of the precious throne of grace and we find mercy and grace to help in time of need. This same Jesus on that same throne of grace that he said we can come boldly to, that's not in heaven. That's here. You can take care of business at this old-fashioned throne of grace, bowing before him, and you won't have to deal with it at the judgment seat of Christ because it's the same Christ. You can do it now. You don't have to wait till you die. You don't have to wait till after the rapture and be ashamed before him at his coming. We can come boldly and we can find mercy and grace because it's the same Jesus. And it'd be a lot easier, as it's already been testified tonight, it's a lot easier to do it now, the easy way, as Pastor Jerry said, rather than deal with it the hard way. Now. So what are you going to do with all the messages this week? One of these days I'm going to get around to doing it. Whatever the Spirit of God put on your heart. Now, faith. Now the just walk by faith. So now is the time to obey. Now faith. I believe I've given you the main points. You see, why do we do it, everything about faith now? Because now, 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Not tomorrow. Now. See, you remember when the disciples asked Jesus, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" Jesus said, to Pilate and to Herod, he said, "My kingdom is not now of the earth, else would my servants fight." Not now. But this is now. This is right now. He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So we are now the sons of God. So now is the time to exercise faith. Now is the time to walk by faith. Jesus has faith in you because he knows what he can do with you, for you, to you, and through you. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. He had confidence that he could do the job. We can have confidence. We can do the job if through him. So 1 Peter 2:10, now we have obtained mercy. Ephesians 2:13, now in Christ Jesus, we which were afar off were made nigh by the blood. Now, Romans 6:22, now being made free from sin. Romans 7, verse 6, now we are delivered from the law. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not 10 years from now. Now. Start living now. Live by faith now. Romans 5, verse 9, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's now. We don't have to, I hope I will escape the tribulation. You know you can escape the tribulation because the Holy Ghost ain't even going to be here. Because he's in us. Being now justified, now are ye the light of the world. Not 10 years from now, now. Now is the time for you to know your purpose for life. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Now. You're not going to be an ambassador for God after you go to Bible college. You're not going to be an ambassador for God after you graduate with your degree. Amen. You are an ambassador for God now, and you should be an ambassador and then sent out of an embassy called the local church. Our purpose of love. Now you see him not. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But now you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. So, say, I'm saved. I have faith in Christ. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have faith in the Word of God. I have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I have faith in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I have faith that the promises of God are sure and will not fail. I believe. You don't have to keep repeating that. You just have to act on it. I believe. If you believe, then you confess it with your mouth. If you believe, you can get baptized. If you believe, you can get into church. If you believe, you can sing in the choir. But you can do all those things, but if you don't have belief, faith in the Son of God, they're just ornaments. You can do all the activity you want, but if you're not doing it by faith. So I wonder if this is the will of God in my life. Well, wait till you know it is. We walk by faith. You can know the will of God. 90% of all the known will of God can be found in clear verses and teaching in the Bible. And if you'll fulfill the known will of God, you won't have to look under every rock to find the personal will of God. You just be willing to do His will, John 7:17, and you'll know the doctrine. You'll know of what Christ is teaching you. Well, now, what are you going to do with Jesus? If you're here and you've never been saved, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you know you're saved, and by faith you've committed yourself this week, and God will reward you for being here. You made that decision several weeks ago that you were going to be here at the house of God. You were going to come to revival, and God has been giving you some special things that people did just didn't make up their mind until the last second. But those of you that committed yourself by faith to this meeting, God is going to do some special things for you. And He's done some wonderful things for me because of your faith. I've been helped because Amen. Of your faith. And I didn't have to wait for 2 weeks. Some of you loved on me immediately. Pull me in your arms. Pull me in your heart. You practice faith. Because there's not much about me that attracts people to me. But maybe there's some Jesus in me that brings the Jesus in you. So whatever we do, let's do it by faith. And let's do it by faith and not by sight. Person that's got hard times needs love just as much as the guy in the suit. We all need each other. What are you going to do with what you've learned this week? But my question tonight is, when are you going to do it? Now.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.